Chapter 18, Friday. Melissa stretched, arching her back and feeling a tingle run down her spine. She recalled needing to review number theory lessons to avoid falling behind next semester, and that her bicycle's brakes needed servicing as they no longer gripped well. Her mind then drifted to a strange sex dream she'd had about a tropical country where she was forced to remain naked, prodded with cattle prods, and subjected to degrading medical procedures. Upon reflecting on that dream, she concluded that there was something really wrong with her subconscious. Reaching for her blanket, she found it missing and realized she was naked, which was unusual since she always slept in pajamas. She opened her eyes and tried to make sense of what she saw. It was still dark, and only the dim light of a nightlight provided some orange illumination. She felt her memories rush back like a punch in the gut. She let the events of the last 2 days pass in her mind and cringed. She checked again, and yes, she was naked. She felt her neck, and yes, she was wearing a steel collar. She checked her ear and felt the hard plastic of her ear tag attached to her ear. It was still a bit swollen and hurt when she touched it, but if she left it alone, it was fine. She traced her collar with her hands, searching for some way she could unlock or remove it, but she couldn't find one. She couldn't get the collar off. She got up and went to the bars. She tested them, pushing and pulling at them, as if she might be able to dislodge them, but they didn't move. She went to the door and she was locked in. She thought how she had never been locked in anywhere before she had been enslaved. And even if she had been arrested, she would have had rights. She could have contacted a lawyer or called someone. None of this was available to her here, and she was only informed what would happen to her when she asked, and even then she didn't get the full story. Melissa needed to pee. She walked over to the bucket, lifted the lid, and squatted to urinate. She couldn't help but notice how convenient it was, not having to remove any clothing and not needing to dress after relieving herself. She didn't have anything to wipe, so she decided to stand at the bars for a few minutes to allow any residual moisture to dry. She had no sense of the time. The barn was silent and dark, with no clock in sight and nothing for her to do. Melissa applied some ointment to her ear. Then she returned to her bed, attempting to drift back to sleep. Later, Melissa was woken up again by the sound of the barn door opening, followed by some commotion. She was lying on her left side due to the ear tag on her right. She turned and tried to look, but the walls of her stall, which protruded further than the steel bars that kept her in, obstructed her view. She stood up and moved close to the bars to get a better look, and gripped the bars with her hands. As they approached, she saw two men. The night's rest had reset her sense of modesty. She hadn't minded too much being naked when only the barn's animals could see her from their stalls. But these were two men. They would be passing by her cage, and then they would see her naked in here. Her instincts told her to run or hide, but she was caged, and her cell was largely empty. She could not avoid them, and the anticipation gave her a sharp pang in her stomach. She watched them shovel feed from a wheelbarrow into the troughs of each stall, a routine she had observed the previous day. When they reached her stall, one man grabbed a food packet and came closer. The first thing Melissa now instinctively checked for was whether people were carrying cattle prods. These men were equipped with them, but since she was behind bars, she felt relatively safe. Melissa knew that seeing naked slaves in cages was normal for these people. If she tried to cover herself with her hands, she would only be drawing attention to herself. So she decided to pretend that it didn't matter to her that they could see her like this, and forced herself to resist the urge to cover her breasts and her vagina with her hands. The men seeing her locked in her cage made her feel like an animal in a zoo. She felt as if she was a captured, naked white woman on display, alongside other animals for anyone passing by to look at. Melissa was hungry. She hadn't had a meal since the early dinner the day before, and the excitement of her sex session with Arbeck had burned a lot of calories as well. Normally, she'd have some chocolate afterwards, but she didn't have any food in her stall. She went to the feeding slot in her door in anticipation of being fed. As soon as the man slid the food through, she took it. The man gave her a nod and said,
"Good morning, Sleeping Beauty."
"Good morning,"
Melissa responded automatically. He slid a bottle of water through the feeding gap.
"Thanks,"
Melissa said. He then returned to the wheelbarrow to continue feeding the animals in the other stalls. Melissa opened her meal container to find lentils, beans, and cooked spinach, accompanied by a plastic spoon. The food was bland. No salt, no sauce, no spices, just as Nala had described, adhering to the latest health guidelines from the Ministry of Health. Sitting on her bed, she began her breakfast. Despite the lack of flavor, her hunger made it palatable. The men finished their trip to the end of the corridor, and she saw them walk past her, out of the barn. After finishing her meal, Melissa had nothing to do. She paced around her stall before lying back on her bed, feeling bored. She contemplated masturbation, which was unusual for her so early in the day. It didn't feel quite right, her body not in the mood. Yet with nothing else to do and being naked, her thoughts kept drifting to sex. If she had been clothed, she may not have masturbated. But in her naked state, her clitoris was right there, exposed and available to the touch. The only ones who could see her were the animals in the stalls opposite from her. Ideally, she would have liked to be completely unobserved, but that would have to do, so she masturbated. The climax was underwhelming. Her body wasn't ready at this early hour. It was a low peak that fizzled out quickly. But she remembered how someone had told her that sex was like pizza, and how even a bad pizza was still pretty good. She didn't worry about the smell of her vaginal fluids. The bars of her stall provided plenty of ventilation, and it would be overshadowed by the smell of the animals in the barn. After that, she felt relaxed and managed to doze into a light sleep. She awakened again when she heard the barn door open and turned. She turned to look, but couldn't see what was happening. Evidently, someone was there for another animal. Not her. She heard the sounds of a stall being opened and an animal being let out. She then turned back to her side, closing her eyes. This happened several times. Workers came and went, removing animals from nearby stalls while bypassing hers. By now, it was much lighter. The morning sun was shining through the glass panels at the barn's peak. Melissa was fully awake. Finally, the barn door opened again, and the familiar sound of footsteps reached her. Turning with anticipation, Melissa saw it was Killian coming for her, not one of the animals. The barn seemed emptier now from what she could see from her stall. It appeared most of the animals had already been taken for processing. From her bed, she gazed at him through the bars, and their eyes met. Yes, he was indeed here for her. She rose from the bed and assumed the submissive pose lying on the floor. Killian unlocked the door and entered.
"Good morning, Melissa,"
he greeted her.
"Good morning, sir,"
she replied.
"How was your first night here?"
he inquired, proceeding to attach her ankle chains.
"It was fine,"
she answered from the floor.
"Nala mentioned you were only recently enslaved. So this was your second night as a slave?"
he continued, closing the ankle cuffs on her.
"Yes, sir,"
she confirmed. She was chained once more, having spent nearly all of the previous day in chains. And she would likely wear them most of the day again today, until she was locked in here for the night.
"What is it like for you?"
Killian checked the cuffs around her ankles and tightened one of them.
"It is very difficult, sir,"
she whispered honestly, from her position on the floor.
"Do you need to pee?"
Melissa had drunk the bottle of water the man had given her earlier. She must have sweat a lot during the night. Her bladder was full now.
It can wait.
Do it now. I don't want to have to take you to the bathroom once we get started,
Killian insisted. Melissa sighed and stood up.
Can you wait outside of the stall?
Just go,
he commanded, pulling out his cattle prod to nudge her toward the bucket. Melissa dodged the prod as soon as she saw it. She quickly moved to the bucket, removed the lid, propped it against the wall, and glanced at him, hoping he would look away. He didn't. With another sigh, she slowly positioned herself over the bucket, turning her head away to avoid seeing him. Fortunately, he wasn't playing around with the cattle prod to unsettle her this time, and her bladder was indeed full. She rested her left elbow on her knee, her head in her hand, using her open hand as a shield so she wouldn't have to look at Killian leaning against the wall. She closed her eyes, trying to relax, and managed to start urinating. She hoped she could keep it quiet, but it splashed against the urine that was already in the bucket, making her cringe. When her stream stopped, she stood up and approached him, ready to be led out for whatever the health office had planned for her. Killian attached a leash to her collar, and they proceeded out of the barn. Melissa walked behind Killian, led by the leash. His pace was leisurely, and she felt calm since he wasn't playing with his cattle prod today. She didn't mind the leash. She preferred this to him leading her directly by the collar, as he had done the day before. The chain was hanging loosely, and Melissa followed him at the same leisurely pace. She didn't even feel the need to protect her neck by holding the chain with her hands. They left the barn and went down the corridor to the exit of the barn complex. There, the clerk didn't even stand up, just raised his device towards Melissa, which beeped in response.
These chips are amazing,
he remarked.
They work over several meters. All animals should be chipped like this.
Melissa recalled the painful chipping from the previous day. Although she no longer felt the chip, the thought that the chip in her could be scanned from a distance made her uncomfortable. She worried that once she was released from here, anyone could access her medical records, and they didn't even need to get close to her. She wanted that chip out of her as soon as possible. She was determined to have it removed when she returned to England. After leaving the barn complex, it was a brief walk to the main health office building, where medical procedures took place. Near the barn complex, there was an area with numerous faucets, many connected to hoses with drainage gutters. Killian, leading her outside, said,
Come on. We need to clean you up before your next appointment.
They walked a short distance to the main health office building, passing by a wall where faucets and hoses were set up, with gutters for drainage. Another nurse was already there, hosing down a sheep he presumably had just taken from the barn complex.
How do they manage to get so dirty in the barn?
He complained to Killian as he approached with Melissa in tow.
I know,
Killian replied.
They are filth magnets, aren't they? Stand here,
Killian instructed, pointing to a spot next to the sheep. He clipped her leash to one of the leashing posts set up there with a carabiner.
Spread your legs as far as your chains allow and put your hands behind your head.
Melissa faced him, feeling exposed as he turned on the hose. He held the hose over her head and let the water gush out into her hair. When her hair was drenched, he moved on to her armpits, down her front, a spray to her vagina, down her legs, and sprayed off her toes.
Turn around. Face the wall,
Killian ordered next, hosing her down from behind.
Now, spread your legs, bend over, and spread your butt cheeks,
he ordered. Melissa hesitated, but complied.
Wider,
Killian said. Melissa stretched her cheeks apart as much as she could, and Killian directed the jet at her anus for a few seconds. One of the many things she hated about being enslaved was how everyone seemed to be entitled to access her intimate areas.
Okay, turn around,
he said. Killian handed her one of the bottles of shower gels that were on a shelf.
Soap up!
Melissa complied, lathering her body thoroughly. The humidity of the barn and her perspiration through the night made cleanliness a welcome relief. She would have liked a conventional shower. Being hosed down outside next to a sheep made her feel like a zoo animal again. She worked the soap into her hair, across her body, and into her pubic area. She glanced at her leash, which was simply clipped to a post, not locked. It might hold cattle, but she could easily remove it. However, there was no point in trying to escape. With no place to go and her ankles hobbled by chains, running was impossible. She noticed a veterinary nurse leading a goat towards the barn, exchanging greetings with Killian but ignoring her.
Also do your feet?
Killian reminded her.
Yes, sir,
she replied, awkwardly balancing to clean each chained foot. Then he directed her through poses to rinse off, first standing with legs spread and hands behind her head to wash her front. He instructed her to spread her labia so the water could clean between them. Next was her backside, then she had to bend over and spread her butt cheeks for him again. As she waited in this position, she watched her neck chain sway, trying to take this as casually as the two men behind her seemed to, while feeling the spray of water from Killian's hose against her anus. The other guy said,
"Thank God it's Friday. I'm so ready for the weekend."
Killian agreed and mentioned he wanted to watch the game this afternoon and visit the beach this weekend, while still directing the water jet between Melissa's butt cheeks to her anus. Melissa was eager to change her position, but she knew moving without permission would be seen as disobedience. She sensed that Killian wasn't in a punitive mood today, but the atmosphere was relaxed, and she didn't want to risk spoiling it. She remembered that Nala had told her that it was at the discretion of the staff if they wanted to use the cattle prod, so she remained bent over, holding her position until the two men finished their conversation. Then Killian instructed her to stand up and turn around.
"Hand me your leash,"
Killian said. Melissa unclipped her leash from the post and gave it to him, feeling like his pet. Killian clipped her leash with the carabiner hook to his belt. He took out a pair of handcuffs and motioned Melissa to turn around. Melissa let out a silent sigh. She knew from Nala that this wasn't necessary. Whether she was cuffed was up to her handler. It was not a requirement of the health office. She turned and put her hands on her back, ready for cuffing. She had learned to do this in the submissive pose, and she knew it was expected from her here as well. Killian snapped the cuffs around her wrists and tightened them. Then Killian headed towards the main building of the health office, with Melissa following, her hobble chain making clinking sounds on the stone floor. The sun was now high, and its warmth enveloped Melissa. She actually enjoyed the sensation. Back in England, only her face and hands would catch the sun, and sunny days were seldom, and it was often cold. Here, the warmth was comforting, and she could be nude without feeling cold. There was a smoking area just outside the back entrance of the health office, equipped with a table, chairs, a sun umbrella for shade, and a vending machine.
"We've got some time,"
Killian said. He attached Melissa's leash to the armrest of one of the chairs. By looping the chain around the armrest and clipping the carabiner to the chain, Melissa would be able to free herself if she had a few moments, but that would only get her into trouble, and she would not be able to escape in her handcuffs and hobble chain. She wouldn't make an attempt to get her leash off the chair. Melissa was about to take a seat in the chair, but Killian stopped her.
"No, you can't sit there,"
he explained.
"For hygiene reasons." "Yeah."
He pointed to the ground beside him.
"Kneel on the ground."
"It's okay,"
she responded.
"I can just stand."
"No, you can't stand. Kneel."
Melissa studied Killian's face to see if he was serious. He took a drag from his cigarette and then glanced away, showing no sign of retracting his command. If she stayed standing, he'd soon see her as disobedient. She continued to look at him for signs that this was a cruel joke, while she attempted to kneel on the hard stone, but the pressure on her knees and shins was too much. So she opted to sit cross-legged, with one leg up, leaning against Killian's chair, hoping he'd overlook the fact she wasn't kneeling. Fortunately, Killian seemed either not to notice or not to care. Killian rose, went to the vending machine, and returned with a cup of coffee and a pack of trail mix.
"I'm so glad the week is over,"
Killian remarked.
"This has been such a drag."
Was he actually complaining about his week to her, of all people? Melissa couldn't believe it. He was fully aware that she had been enslaved and subjected to the most degrading experiences of her life that very week. This had been the worst week she'd ever known.
"Yeah, for me too,"
Melissa replied.
"The head nurse has it out for me,"
he complained.
"She's always stalking me, always nagging. It doesn't matter what I do, she always finds some problem. I'll be happy when my time here is over."
"Me too,"
Melissa responded.
"You want some?"
Killian extended his hand, offering nuts and raisins. Melissa's breakfast and dinner had been the bland meals from the health office. She saw the nuts and she could clearly see that the peanuts were salted and the raisins were sweet. Melissa immediately knew she wanted this, especially the salt. She looked up at him from her seat on the ground, hoping he would realize she was still cuffed behind her back and free her hands so she could take him up on his offer.
"The vibrant vipers are playing the Skyhawks later this afternoon,"
he told her, and for the first time he seemed excited about something other than the cattle prod. Melissa realized he didn't care that she had no use of her hands. She gave him one last glance, then she exhaled and swallowed. She didn't want to be fed like this, but the craving for the salt was strong. She moved forward, straightened herself, and took the nuts from his hand with her mouth. She couldn't get all of it at once, so she picked off the nuts and the raisins from his hand, separately with her tongue and her lips. Then she settled back down and munched the delicious trail mix. She enjoyed the salt and the sweetness. Killian continued talking about his football game, lamenting not getting tickets for the Skyhawks, the local team he supported. He offered more trail mix, and this time, Melissa ate directly from his hand without hesitation. She would be out of here in 2 weeks, and then all of this would be over. No one would know about this, it wouldn't matter. Killian looked at her and she said,
"Thank you, sir."
He mentioned how he hated getting up so early for his internship. On the weekend, he said, he'd have a long lie-in and then start the day slowly with some iced coffee and watch YouTube. He took a sip of his coffee.
"Want some too?"
He offered her the plastic cup. Normally, Melissa would have never shared a cup with him. But given the circumstances and that she had already allowed him to feed her out of his hand, she straightened and leaned towards the cup. Killian brought it to her lips and tilted it slowly to her. Melissa took a tiny sip. The coffee was cheap, as one might expect from coffee from an outside vending machine. It had been out for a few minutes by now, so it wasn't steaming hot anymore. It was nice and sweet. Finding it palatable, Melissa took a larger sip, enjoying the flavor after 2 days without coffee, and quickly took a third before he might decide to pull it away.
"Hey, you're a greedy one, aren't you?"
he laughed.
"Fine, finish up,"
he allowed, letting her drink the rest.
"Time for the daily grind now,"
Killian said, unclipping her leash. Melissa stood up, and he led her into the main building of the health office. They entered the white hall where Killian took off Melissa's handcuffs and chained her to the workbench. The head nurse appeared. Killian scanned Melissa's chip with a tablet, and it beeped. Under her supervision, Killian measured her blood pressure. Killian put a scale on the table and asked Melissa to squat on it. to weigh her. Then he recorded all the measurements on his tablet. Melissa was taken off the table and made to stand against the wall. The leash was clipped to a ring in the wall. Pictures were taken of her face, then the whole body from the front, sides, and back, and a second time with her legs spread shoulder wide and her hands folded behind her head. She asked what they were for and was told that they would go on her file. If her chip was scanned but many chipped animals were in the vicinity, then it was good to have photos so the user could pick which animal he wanted the data from. Next, she was directed to brush her teeth at the sink. After that, she was back on the workbench for a dental examination by the veterinarian, who praised her excellent dental condition, noting it was better than average, even among free individuals in the country. She was then placed in the restraining pillory again, like yesterday. The vet was talking to Killian, but the noise in the hall drowned out their conversation for Melissa. She heard the sound of a spray and felt a cool mist on her left buttock, followed by the sensation of it being wiped clean. After some rustling, she felt a sharp prick in the same spot. She lifted herself and looked between her legs to see what was going on.
"Stay still, Miss Maura,"
the vet instructed her.
"What are you doing?"
she asked.
"Vaccinations,"
he replied.
"What kind of vaccinations?"
"Don't worry, Miss Maura. Your owner will be able to see all the details when he scans your chip."
She felt another prick in her buttock. Although she assumed these were standard vaccinations, she would have preferred to know exactly what they were. However, she had no choice in the matter. Perhaps it was for the best. Never having been to Africa before, these shots might protect her against tropical diseases she could otherwise be susceptible to. Still, she was frustrated that she didn't know what was being injected into her body, despite asking. After another prick in her butt cheek, she started to feel like a pincushion. She wondered how many more injections there would be. There was a brief pause, and she glanced between her legs. Killian was entering data into the tablet under the vet's supervision. Nala came up beside her, sprayed something on the back of her hand, and then wiped it off. The scent of ethanol, reminiscent of a hospital, soon filled the air. Nala stepped away for a moment, then returned, fumbling with something near Melissa's leg. Raising herself slightly so she could look down between her legs, Melissa tried to see what was happening. She couldn't see much, but felt a needle prick.
"Ouch!"
Melissa exclaimed.
"Sorry,"
Nala murmured.
"It won't take long."
Melissa couldn't fully see what was being done, and Nala offered no explanation. Shortly after, she felt a Band-Aid being applied to her hand, and Nala walked away with two vials of blood. Meanwhile, it seemed Killian had finished administering the vaccinations to her. Melissa overheard the head nurse discussing STDs with Killian, explaining how many could be identified through visual examination of the genitals and anus. She felt the head nurse spread her labia for a visual inspection of those areas. Then she instructed Killian to do the same. He took hold of her labia, but they slipped from his grasp. He tried again, this time gripping them more firmly, almost pinching, which elicited a groan from Melissa. He pulled them to the left and right, showcasing his inspection to the head nurse. Melissa groaned as her labia were stretched, attempting to move in the direction of his pull to alleviate the discomfort, but his inconsistent directions, pulling one side then the other, or both at once in opposite directions, made it impossible. The head nurse then reprimanded him for being too rough, pointing out how uncomfortable he was making Melissa, and noting that she hadn't caused such distress during her own examination.
"All looks good,"
Killian reported to the head nurse.
"And she seems to be becoming a bit moist around here. At least someone is having a good time."
Killian's flippant comment sparked anger in Melissa. She felt the head nurse should have reprimanded him for such unprofessionalism. Comments like this would have been unimaginable at her gynecologist's office. She clenched her fists within her clamped down hands, but chose not say anything.
That is an involuntary physiological response,
the head nurse corrected him.
Likely due to the repeated manipulation of her labia during your feckless examination.
Are we done now?
Killian asked.
Haven't you forgotten something?
The head nurse asked, her tone laced with a hint of annoyance.
Oh yeah, the UV thing. Where is that?
He rummaged around the table, searching.
It's in the second drawer from the top,
the head nurse directed him. Killian fetched the UV flashlight from the drawer and went back behind Melissa. Melissa felt something being inserted into her vagina, rubbing and causing an uncomfortable stretching sensation. What was this guy doing? She moaned.
Okay, it's in,
Killian announced to the head nurse.
You know, when the patient is vocalizing discomfort like that, you should consider lubricating the speculum,
the head nurse told him.
You should be aware of that by now.
Oh yeah,
he remembered.
Oh well, it is in now. Next time.
Melissa felt a wave of anger about Killian's negligence that had caused her discomfort. Strapped down as she was, she couldn't do anything about it. But the head nurse should have intervened sooner to spare her from this. The head nurse sighed.
This practice is important. Please make an effort to remember it.
Yeah, yeah,
he replied dismissively. There was a clicking sound, followed by silence.
Looks like there might be an infection down there,
he observed.
What? Let me see,
the head nurse said. After a brief inspection, she remarked.
Odd.
The head nurse moved to Melissa's head. Melissa tried to look, but couldn't see her face, so the head nurse leaned down on the workbench.
Miss Maura, when was the last time you had intercourse?
The head nurse asked.
What?
Melissa asked bewilderedly, confused about why she was suddenly being questioned about her sexual history.
When was the last time you had intercourse? We need this information to assist in making a diagnosis,
the head nurse clarified. Melissa tried to puzzle together what was happening. They had discovered something unexpected with their stupid UV light. She realized it must be a trace of Arbeck semen from the previous night. These perverts had strapped her down, spread her vagina with a speculum, and found whatever tiny bit was left of his semen on her cervix. Now they wanted to know if the unexpected fluorescence was due to a bacterial infection or could be attributed to sexual activity of hers. Melissa couldn't reveal what happened the previous evening, so she lied.
2 days ago, the morning before I was enslaved.
That seems too long ago to account for the fluorescence,
the head nurse mused.
Get the vet, Killian. I want his opinion on this.
Killian hurried away. The head nurse tidied the equipment and departed as well. They left Melissa on the workbench, still restrained, with the speculum still in place. She rested her head on her left cheek to avoid the ear tag on her right ear touching the table, which also meant she couldn't see what was happening in the room.
Hey, Melissa, good morning,
she heard Nala say. Melissa raised her head and turned.
Hello,
she replied, her voice weary. Nala walked past, and Melissa turned her head back, resting on her left cheek once more. She recalled her last visit to the gynecologist, a well-mannered middle-aged woman. At the time, she had found the visit embarrassing, but after her ordeal here, she knew she'd never again complain about seeing her gynecologist. In comparison to this nightmare, it would feel like a walk in the park. Eventually, the vet arrived with the head nurse and Killian. Using the UV light, the vet examined Melissa's vagina, which was still held open by the speculum.
When was the last time you had intercourse?
The vet asked Melissa.
2 days ago in the morning,
she lied.
then it is indicative of some bacterial infection.
The vet concluded to the head nurse.
Semen wouldn't be detectable in the vagina after 2 full days, even under UV light.
It looks like semen to me,
the head nurse said.
That is how traces of semen fluoresce under UV light. Semen typically dissipates quickly in the vagina. If this is from 2 days ago, Miss Mora would have had to receive an unusually large amount of sperm. That volume would be far beyond what a single individual could produce. Perhaps her owner worked quite thoroughly as a sex slave, but Faye. According to our records, Miss Mora has only been enslaved for 2 days. She was free when she had her last instance of intercourse 2 days ago,
the head nurse noted.
It would suggest then a multiple partner scenario,
the vet concluded.
Did you participate in group sexual activity 2 days ago?
The head nurse asked Melissa, turning to face her.
No!
Melissa responded firmly.
I've seen reports on Western media suggesting that group sexual activities are not uncommon among some Western women.
The head nurse reflected to the vet.
I did not participate in any group activities.
Melissa whined from her restraints.
I don't do these things.
Mom, so we're at an impasse then?
The vet pondered.
Either she was involved in multiple partner activity or this is indicative of a bacterial infection.
Other people were seeing the discussion and becoming curious. People passing by would pause behind Melissa to have a look at what this was all about.
Can I have a look too?
She heard Nala say. After some consideration, the vet decided.
Given a likely use as a sex slave, we can't afford to take risks. The health of men could be at risk. Let's proceed with vaginal swabs at various depths, including the cervix.
Melissa didn't like the sound of that. The restraints were making her shoulders ache, and she had hoped she would be let out of this medieval contraption soon. And this sounded like it would take time, and she would be stuck in this for longer. She heard Killian murmuring something to Nala.
Ah, I see it.
She heard Nala's voice again.
Interesting.
Then the vet continued.
We should also perform anal swabs. It's essential to be thorough in our approach.
This was getting worse by the minute.
Good thinking,
the head nurse concurred.
Should Killian perform this? Learning examination techniques is part of his internship objectives.
Yes, that would be beneficial,
the vet said.
And Nala should take this opportunity to learn these techniques as well. We should make the most of this educational moment.
I'll demonstrate the procedure,
the head nurse stated.
That way, we provide a thorough examination of the livestock, and we also help these two meet their training objectives.
A win-win situation,
the vet agreed. Melissa didn't like where this was going at all. Her vagina was still pried open with the speculum for everyone passing by to casually look into, and instead of this being over, it was getting worse. Every time these people agreed on something. It was certainly not a win-win situation for her. Fucking health office. More like hell office, she thought and sighed.
Okay, but let's take a 15-minute break first,
Killian suggested.
Agreed. I need one too. We'll meet again in 15 minutes,
the head nurse said. With some effort, Melissa lifted her upper body from the table and turned towards them.
Can I bet let out of this?
She begged.
I've been locked into this thing for so long now. My shoulders are aching.
But it was too late. The group had their backs to her when were on their way. There was a lot of commotion in the White Hall as usual, and they were talking to each other, so they didn't hear Melissa's pleas for relief from her bonds. Melissa tried to expel the speculum they had left in her by contracting her pelvic muscles, but it wouldn't move. The hall was so busy that, minutes later, another group of nurses arrived with a dog in a transport cage. these nurses were complaining about the lack of available workbenches. They spotted Melissa on the workbench. She was unattended, but still clamped down. One of the nurses checked her ears and found the ear tag. He gently turned her head to the right so the ear tag was on top and tucked her hair behind her ear so the ear tag was readable. He checked the number on it with the papers on his clipboard.
"This is Miss Mara,"
he said to the others.
"She doesn't have anything urgent scheduled for today."
They decided that having her wait on the workbench was a waste of workspace. Melissa should have been put into storage when she wasn't actively being processed, but her handlers were nowhere to be seen. They decided to release her from the restraints. One nurse unlocked the restraining device. Melissa sighed with relief, stretching her shoulders as the nurse reattached her ankle chains. She tried to pull out the speculum, but it was stuck. They had left the speculum fully expanded in her vagina, and the blades were slightly bent outward as they went in. So when she tried pulling it out, it was stretching her vagina, and that was uncomfortable. Killian hadn't lubricated it, which made pulling it out painful. She looked down, but couldn't make out the mechanism that was locking it open in her. She might be able to force it out, but it would hurt. The nurse noticed her struggle and instructed her to stop. He directed her to go on all fours and spread her legs. From behind, he unscrewed the speculum and gently pulled it out. Meanwhile, the dog was released from its cage. Melissa, now hobbled, was released from the leash that was chaining her to the workbench and directed to enter the dog's cage. The dog's cage was a generous size for a dog, but it would be cramped for a human like Melissa. She protested at first. She begged them to chain her to one of the posts instead, but she was told those were not meant for storage and may be needed as well. Melissa saw the cattle prods on their belts. She hated these devices. The cattle prods only existed to make her feel pain. She had had a taste of them yesterday when Killian had shocked her for his amusement. She did not want to feel them again, so she maneuvered awkwardly into the cage, which was smaller than the transport cage that had been used to bring her here. The cage smelled like dog. She wished they had at least wiped it down before they forced her into it. The nurse closed the cage door in front of her face and locked it. Then he rolled the cage under the table and they proceeded to process the dog. When the head nurse, Nayla, and Killian returned from their break, they saw that the workbench was occupied and Melissa had been caged under the table. Seeing that all work areas were in use, they decided to delay Melissa's treatment until later, when the facility would be less crowded. Melissa remained caged and forced into a kneeling position, with her upper body bent forward, supported by her elbows and forearms. The cage was too low for her to sit up straight. Her legs were tucked beneath her, and the tight space prevented her from finding a comfortable sitting position. The metal floor was harsh on her knees and lower legs. She managed to turn to one side and assumed a fetal position with her side on the floor instead, which spread her weight more evenly and offered some relief. Once the dog's treatment was completed, the nurses brought in a new cage, secured the dog inside it, and placed it next to Melissa under the table. Then a loud beep signaled the start of the lunch break. The staff began to leave the White Hall, and Melissa was left waiting in her cage. In her fetal position, the cage's bars pushed into her back, which wasn't an issue at first, but became increasingly bothersome. She managed to shift away from them, avoiding contact. However, lying on one side for an extended period was uncomfortable, so she eventually repositioned herself back into the bent forward kneeling pose before curling into a fetal position facing the opposite direction. Melissa was anxious. She hated being caged. Adding to her distress was the uncertainty of how long she'd be confined in this small cage. Initially, she had hoped to be released after Killian's 15-minute break, but that hope had faded when she saw him return only to leave again. Now, with the lunch break underway, she felt that powerless frustration once more. She realized she would be stuck in this cramped cage, and no one would tend to her for roughly an hour. After an hour, another beep signaled the end of the lunch break, and employees began returning. Melissa anticipated being processed next, but another group quickly took over the workbench before the head nurse could. Melissa spent most of her time waiting in the cage, but every so often she would shift her position to alleviate the persistent pressure on her body. However, she was unable to stretch her legs or arms, and she desperately needed to stretch her legs and had to pee. The water she had drunk earlier was now pressing for release. Later, Killian came by and wheeled Melissa's cage to another workbench that had just become available. Upon releasing her from the cage, she found it difficult to stand since her legs had gone numb. She managed to pull herself up, holding on to the workbench, standing unsteadily and feeling pins and needles in her legs as circulation returned. She stretched and urgently requested permission to urinate before any more examination could proceed. The head nurse decided it was a good time to collect the urine sample that had originally been scheduled for later today. She tasked Killian with collecting it. Killian handed her two cups, one for the primary sample and another for any overflow. Melissa stood on the workbench and squatted. She awkwardly tried to position the cup in front of her vagina so it would catch her urine stream, but she was unable to get a stream going. When she finally felt like it was coming, Killian started complaining.
"I'm so fed up with this. The game is starting soon. Why can't the head nurse have someone else do this crap?"
"I'm sorry, sir. I'm doing my best here."
"No, it is fine. It is not your fault. Like, she could have asked Nala to do this. I just want the internship certificate. All this just to get a piece of paper. It's ridiculous."
"Yes, sir."
Melissa wished Killian would stop talking. His chatter was making it impossible for her to urinate. Her bladder just wouldn't cooperate under his watch. "I'm not even getting paid for this. Can you believe it?" She tried to focus on how her bladder felt when she had been caged, to feel the urgency, hoping this would trigger the flow. Just as she thought she might succeed, the dog from earlier was walked by her table. Recognizing her, it started barking at her, causing her to freeze up again. Killian was becoming impatient.
"Come on, princess. I can't wait all day for you."
"Please, sir, I really want to pee, but I can't with all the commotion around me. Could I not do this in private, in a bathroom, sir?"
"You can do this with a cattle prod,"
he laughed, poking her side with it, but not turning it on.
"Especially if I miss the game, cause you can't even pee. It's just peeing, for crying out loud."
Melissa shrieked at the touch of the cattle prod. She was so terrified of the sudden touch of the cattle prod that she dropped the cup and started peeing involuntarily onto the table. Overcome with embarrassment, she hastily tried to salvage the situation by picking it up again with her shaking hands and catching the stream in it. Once the first cup was full, she started filling the second, her hands trembling from self-consciousness and nerves. She knew messing up would mean repeating this ordeal.
"We have enough now. You can stop."
"I can't."
She hurriedly emptied out the first cup in the sink so she could reuse it.
"First you can't start, then you can't stop,"
Killian teased.
"You need a can-do attitude. At least that's what the head nurse tells me."
Killian labeled and sealed the cup with the urine sample. He then used a hose to rinse both Melissa and the workbench, cleaning up the urine that Melissa had spilled during her panic induced by the cattle prod. After that, he took the cup away, leaving Melissa, now wet, chained to the table. The head nurse stood at the workbench with Killian and Nayla, preparing an array of what looked like overlong cotton ear swabs for Melissa's examination. Killian and Nala took turns swabbing Melissa's vagina at various depths, then carefully placing each swab into a vial and labeling it. Melissa could tell who was swabbing her by the sensation in her vagina. Nala was gentle, perhaps empathizing due to her own anatomy, while Killian's approach was rougher, scraping more forcefully against her vaginal walls. The restraining pillory was holding her immobile, even when Killian was scratching against her vaginal walls with the cotton swab, and even when he was poking it into her cervix. She grunted, but she couldn't move away without hurting herself in the device.
Fuck! I'm missing the game! Fuck!
Killian, you can't talk like that here.
Why not? It's all because of her gangbangs. If she hadn't had a gangbang 2 days ago, we wouldn't need to do this and I could be out of here.
I didn't have a gangbang.
We don't know what we're dealing with, Killian. It's crucial we analyze this.
Melissa reflected on how this situation arose. Originally, there had been no plans for these swabs. They were only doing this because they had discovered Arbeck's semen in her. He had bribed his way into the facility to have sex with her, and now where was he? Likely enjoying the beach or having drinks with friends. Meanwhile, she was here, chained to a workbench, subjected to strangers poking her in her vagina. They both had had sex, but this was only happening to her. Why was it always her who suffered the consequences, while Arbeck seemed to escape unscathed? Why didn't Arbeck get swabbed for having sex? These were the thoughts swirling in Melissa's mind as she endured the ordeal. Most of the time was not spent on swabbing Melissa, but rather on labeling, note-taking, and organizing the vials on the holding board. Killian grumbled the game would be over by the time they finished. Melissa could feel his impatience by how rough he was when rubbing the swabs against the insides of her vagina. Her left butt cheek was itching where the vaccines had been injected, but she couldn't scratch herself. She considered asking them to scratch her, but decided she had not sunken that low yet. Finally, they moved on to do the swabs of her anus. She involuntarily tensed up at the perverse intimacy of a swab touching her there. Even when she tensed her sphincter muscle, she could not stop the swabs from invading her anus. They would just push through. She couldn't move in the restraint. Movement in the restraints would only cause her pain. She struggled not to strain against her bonds, trembling with anxiety over her lack of control, her breaths coming in short, sharp gasps from the discomfort, and her anger at her treatment. Nala and Killian took turns pushing the swabs in at two different depths, and Melissa could feel every centimeter of their swabs' journeys. And even though they only went 1 and 3 centimeters in respectively, they felt to her as if they were probing deep inside of her. Melissa was trembling with the anticipation of this invasion of her being over. She tried to focus on something else, distract herself somehow. But every time another swab touched her anus, her mind brought her back into the present and focused her on how it was being pushed into her. Once they finished, they summoned the head nurse who inspected their work. She criticized Killian for his illegible handwriting and for not using permanent markers on the vial labels, rendering his samples unusable. Fortunately, Nala's work was acceptable. However, the head nurse scolded him for it and said that he would be doing all of this over again next week. He would not get away with this. She would no longer be tolerating his lackadaisical attitude to work.
We will practice this over and over until you get it right. I'm not letting you get away with this again,
the head nurse told Killian. After the head nurse left, Killian shook his head and said,
Fuck this, I'm out of here.
And to Melissa,
See you on Monday.
And left. Nala released her from the restraining device, and Melissa felt immense relief as she could finally straighten her shoulders and no longer had her private areas exposed for examination. She scratched at her buttock where she had received the vaccines earlier, Nala shackled her ankles again and unlocked the chain from the headboard. She led Melissa back to the barn, took off her restraints there, and locked her in for the night. In her stall, Melissa found two containers, one with her lunch and another with her dinner and four bottles of water. She was hungry and ate the brown rice with sorghum and peppers. She checked the bucket and found that it had been emptied. She laid down on her bed and tried to process the events of the day